You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Like I said on Thursday, at the prayer, we started sharing on and asking the why question. It's good to ask the why question. Why do you come to church? Why do you do what you do? And today I'm not so much going to preach, but I'm going to share a little bit with you on the why and the how of what we do here in Household of Christ. Amen? Let me start by saying this. When we started the church, the first service, backed out 20 chairs, I was waiting for God to come and light the candle. I said, God, it's important that you light the candle. The book of Revelations 1 talks about the lampstand, that light that is of Christ Jesus, amen? But it talks about the living church, a church with the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit in it. So it's important that you're part of a church where there's fire, where there's life, where it's a living church, where that light is in that church, amen? So when I saw that vision, Christ's hand coming down and lighting the candle, I know that that fire comes from God. That fire, that light expels darkness. Amen? God's word is a lamp unto our feet. And we could say, okay, yes, we're going to move forward. And honest to God, I purposed in my heart, I said to my wife, if God does not light the candle today, it's one service and then I'm moving on. And I've held on to that vision so many times, I cannot tell you. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts 26 verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. To open their eyes in order to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So I want to tell you, the heavenly vision that God gave us, it's very important, the vision that God has given you, that you remain faithful and loyal to it. You know, God can drop something in your heart, and in the future, things can distract you and take you away from that. Turn to the person next to you, say, a heavenly vision demands obedience. So let me tell you about one of the things that I had to do. So God came and spoke to me and he said, this Bible that you have, that you cherish so much, that you read and that you love, you're going to have to put it aside and get another Bible. And the Lord came and he spoke to me and said, if you want to do in this nation what I've called you to do, you're going to have to put that Bible aside and start reading English and start praying English. And I said, God, amen, I'll do that. And that was really for me to start to do that. I didn't understand anything. I was just obedient, and that which seemed naturally in the ordinary, natural, ordinary, has had an extraordinary effect in the spirit. But that's been our journey, amen. So that's one of the things. And I hold on to that and say, God, that you've called us for that. Then God spoke to us. We spoke to me from Isaiah 40 verse 9. He said, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord your God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather their lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So I knew God had called me for this nation. Amen. God had called me for this nation. And let me just say this. If God has called you to preach to Zulu people, be faithful to your calling. Amen. If God has called you to be with Afrikaans, be faithful to that. We have a lot of Afrikaans people in this church. As a matter of fact, we have 27 different cultures in this church. And we need a lot of wisdom for God to lead us. So that's why people start asking the why question. So the why question is because of a heavenly calling, where God says, I'm going to use this guy, an Afrikaans guy, Tell him to put his Bible aside, start reading English, so that nations can come together. Amen. Turn to the person, say, ordinary things. Just give the Lord a hand. It's not been an easy journey. Not been an easy journey, let me just say that. But if we're going to answer the, or ask the why question, we also have to get the how. Amen? How? Because many people look and they say, how? They first ask why, and then they ask, how are you doing it? God chooses grace rather than work so that no man should boast. So I'm going to share some things with you, but a lot of things are not even there because God can do what He wants to do. Amen? God can do what He wants to do. And this is really for people with a heart to say, I want to be part of something unique like this. Amen? So if you're going to do something like this, it must start in the Spirit. Turn to the person and say, it must start in the Spirit. If you're going to try and do this from a natural point of view, it's never, ever going to work. It has to be in the Spirit. And I want to say this scripture, lift up your voice, be not afraid. Say to the cities of South Africa, behold, here is your God. What is it? Tell them to reach up. Allow people to reach up and show them God. Let people come together and see how many cultures can worship together and experience the presence of God. That's what it's really about. Reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. Amen? So we started with this journey. Hallelujah. I said, God, how are we going to do it? He says, there's only one way, in the Spirit. So John 17, do you know that you are in the Bible? Do you know that Jesus prayed for you in the Bible? Do you know that? In John 17, He prayed for you. He prayed for me. So this became the foundation of how we build and how we do things in Household of Christ. The reason why the Lord said to me, read English, because when I speak Afrikaans, I can exclude a lot of people. And everybody wants to feel that they belong. So you might have your own language and you can speak that language. But if I can give you some wisdom, when we come together as different cultures, we speak English so everybody can feel included. Everybody wants to feel that they're a part. A matter of fact, they want to feel like they're in the inner circle. Amen? But as soon as you speak in a different language what they don't understand, they feel excluded immediately. You can apply these principles at work as well. Amen? Because we are planting and busy with a strategy to take this nation for God. So in John 17, verse 20, Jesus prays and says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. What does God want? He wants unity. He wants us to be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. When will the world start believing in Jesus, in the power of Christ? When they see that we have one mind, one heart, one spirit. When they see the love that we have for one another. And then Jesus says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. Adam in the beginning was clothed with glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. From the beginning, God has planned glory for us. Christ came to restore that glory back. Verse 23, in them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them. You know what's the good news? God the Father loves you as much as He loves Jesus. God the Father loves you as much as He loves Jesus. Christ came to this earth to restore glory back to us. What glory am I talking about? Paul said, as Christ has forgiven me, I can forgive. God is perfect because He is Spirit. God is perfect because He is Spirit. That's why we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to be one. Jesus was praying that we should be one. How can we be one? So many different cultures. So many different languages. There's one body when we're talking about Jesus Christ. When you are born again, we are one body. The thing that Christ, that God values most about you, is not outwardly, but inwardly. What God values most about you is that in your heart you are made to be like Christ. You are made to be like Jesus. So what we are establishing here is a Christ culture by the power of the Holy Spirit. That brings perfection to every other culture. Remember Isaiah 40 when he called me and says, do not be afraid. Say to the city, say, behold, here is your God. This is God. There's diversity, but there's unity. When you look at somebody, can you see Jesus in them? Doesn't matter what culture they're from. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or whether Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So family, if you want to experience the oneness in Christ Jesus, you must be born again. And this is what we're preaching. This is what we live for. Be born again. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must be born again. When we have been baptized into one body, we can drink from one Spirit. And then we can come together. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus loves you. It's only when you are born again and you have Christ on the inside of you that when you look at people that you will see people differently. Now you can start planting after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now you can start planting after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Sometimes people can make you angry. But the fact that they make you angry does not mean the flesh should manifest. We should continue to walk in the Spirit. This is the key. The J.B. Phillips translation, Galatians 6 verse 7. I'm going to read it to you. It says, don't be under any illusion. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be under any illusion. The New King James might say, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. This is the Bible, not me, the Bible. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. So your entire life is based upon the seed that you have planted. If you're going through a tough season right now, just continue to plant seeds of righteousness. You're going to have a righteous harvest. Your entire life. One season does not determine who you are. If he sows for his own lower nature, his harvest will be the decay and death of his own nature. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life by the Spirit. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men as we have opportunity to offer it, especially to those who belong to the Christian household. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't stop doing good. This is the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you will reap. I cannot sow strife and expect peace. Listen to me. I cannot be fighting the whole time with people, arguing with people as a Christian, but then want harmony around me. We cannot want to kill, steal, and destroy and expect life and life in abundance. You cannot be causing disunity through what you are saying, but expecting unity in your family, in your community, in your nation. Many of us want certain things in our lives, but what we are saying with our mouths is not what we want. If you are fighting with your children the whole time, causing strife and disunity, why are you, Daddy, expecting unity and peace? Ana, amen. You still want me to preach? Let us not grow tired in doing good. Don't become weary in doing good. But continue to plant the right seeds. So don't stop doing good. Amen? Don't stop loving. Keep on loving. Keep on protecting the peace. Can I say this? When people sow seeds of trouble, it's their seed that they've planted. They're going to receive trouble. Don't you respond with trouble. Don't step into the enemy's trap. If people cause trouble in your life, God will deal with them because God is not mocked. New Testament, Galatians 6 verse 7, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. You can go to 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. I think the Passion Translation says, it is right and just for God to trouble your troublers. What is he saying? They're sowing trouble. They'll get trouble. Am I talking to the right people here? Don't you, when people trouble you, become the troubler. You might just find yourself fighting God. That's what happened with Paul, remember? When the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you giving my Christians a hard time and troubling them? He said, no, God, I'm not doing that. Be careful, you'll have an encounter with God. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, sow and plant good seeds. So this is the message. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Touch the heart of God first. Go and touch the heart of God first. Come and say, holy, 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 holy God, it's just you. I promise you, when you start to declare he is holy, he is righteous, if you've come to touch his heart, he's going to reach down and touch your heart. When God touches your heart, will you let go of what you have to let go of? Sometimes when God is dealing with us, you have to wait for the right season. In its time, God makes everything beautiful. I read it to the people this morning. In its time, he makes it beautiful. You can have the best seed, but if you plant it in the wrong season, you're not going to have a harvest. And you can have seed that's not that great, and you plant it in the right time, and it will start to grow. But the best thing is to take the seed that God has given you and to plant and sow it at the right time, because when you do it in righteousness, in obedience to God's word, you know what the Bible says? When you sow that seed, he multiplies the seed that you are sowing. Ever wondered why certain people do less than you, but it seems like there's more going on in their lives than in yours? They're sowing in the right time, and God is multiplying the seed that they are sowing. Let me share another secret with you about my life. God spoke to me from the book of Ruth. Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ, represents Jesus Christ. Most scholars acknowledge that. Naomi, the Holy Spirit, and Ruth, the church. And where hands of seed was dropped, she picked it up. Ruth picked it up, a type of the church. The word of God being preached to us in a field, in a church. And Naomi said to her, where were you today? She said, I was in Boaz's field. She says, don't be seen in another man's field. Don't be seen in another man's field. I'm helping some of you here. She says, don't be seen in another man's field. Ruth 2 verse 22, and Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with these young men and that people do not meet you in any other field. That's the wisdom of God. Many of you are so confused about the gospel because you're popping from conference to conference, church to church. You've got on your phone, you've got like 10, my pastor, when he calls, my pastor, so good you're calling me. What's that? The Bible says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Willingly, eagerly, not for dishonest gain, not for what you can get out of them, being an example to them. And when the chief shepherd appears, then you'll receive your reward. Stickability is one of the most important things for a Christian. If a man is married and he's got 10 girlfriends, do you think he's faithful? Well, some of you approach churches like that. You're in a church, but you've got 10 girlfriends. And you're mixing seed, and that's why you're confused. So be it in the right field at the right time, planting the right seeds. Can I say this? Be patient with each other. We are all growing in Christ Jesus. We have Christ on the inside of us, but we are not Christ. Is that a revelation to some people? We have Christ on the inside of us, but we're not Christ. We are busy cultivating a Christ culture. It's about loving God and loving people. So, how much time have I got left? I'm not really preaching. I'm just telling you a little bit of who we are and how we do things. So every week, I can tell you at home, we've got the heart test at home. Is your heart okay? Are you offended? And when, let me just tell you, Hebrews teaches us, if you are defiling somebody, you're offended with him. We don't have to, that's the word of God. You can take it up with the word of God. The Bible says, be careful lest the root of bitterness springs up in your heart and you find yourself falling short of the grace of God by which many becomes defiled. This actually says, causes trouble and by this many becomes defiled. So a person that's offended is the person that's causing trouble. And how do you know he's offended? How do you know bitterness is in his heart? He's defiling. So every time if I meet up with Franz and I'm telling him, oh, my wife again, you know what she did? Can you believe my wife again? My wife again? Guess what? I'm offended with my wife. Am I helping some of you here? This is for free. It's not even in my sermon notes. Every time if you at work and you say, this boss again, you're offended with your boss. You are stopping the blessings in your life. You cannot be offended with your boss. Can I have an amen? Ooh, offended with the boss. Parents, cannot be offended with your children. And then you bring them to church and say, let's love Jesus and worship Jesus. Hallelujah, God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. You flippant children. What gospel is that? Then I'm not even touching on every culture has got his own way of doing things. Listen to God, because we are led by the Holy Spirit, reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. It's not what you do. It's not what you do. It's what you are doing has God blessed it. Can I say that again? It's not what you are doing. It's what you are doing has God blessed it. It's not even what you are giving in time, in energy, in resources. It is what God has given, has He blessed it. I'm closing with this. This is, you need revelation. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're going to need some revelation. Are you ready for this? How much time have I got? Let me ask you this question. Let me start by asking this question. When you give, here's a 50 rand. When you give, does the gift sanctify the altar or does the altar sanctify the gift? The altar sanctifies the gift. So many of us are focused upon what we are giving the whole time. Don't focus on this. Here is what you need revelation. You have to look beyond the gift that you are giving, beyond the altar, to Jesus, the one who is sanctifying the altar and the gift. That's why we say, first reach up. The miracle of the five loaves and the two fish. This is the challenge that we have today. Is that that miracle is such a great miracle that happened there. The mistake that we make is we focus on what's in our hands, the five loaves and the two fish. Even if it was 10 times more, it would still not be enough to feed everybody. Even if it was 100 times more, it would not be able to meet the need. So here is the thing. Don't focus on what's in your hand. Focus on the miracle worker. Focus on the miracle worker. Turn to the person that you say, focus on the miracle worker. Because many of you, the situation where you find yourself in right now, you're thinking what's in your hand to work the miracle. But what is in your hand can never be enough to work the miracle. You have to get your focus upon the miracle worker. This is how we've done everything here in this church. Not focusing upon what's in your hand, but focusing upon the miracle worker. Yes, give the Lord a hand. The question you have to ask yourself, do you truly treasure the Lord's blessing? Do you truly treasure it? Because in the Bible, when you look in the book of Mark, these two miracles are shortly, it's almost the same miracle. 5,000 are fed, 4,000 are fed, and he's teaching them to them because he's trying to get a principle through to them to understand. He wants them to understand something, and they're missing it. They're missing it. Because sometimes we think it's what we have in our hands, what we are going to give, what we can do. And our focus is on the wrong thing. And Jesus is busy with his disciples when it came to that. Jesus finished strong because he was extremely focused. We are here today saved because God was focused. Turn to the person next to you and say, remain focused. Look at what Jesus said. And I want this to just drop into your heart. That you will see, I tell people, every time you walk into this building, you're walking into a miracle. And they say, I don't understand why. I say, I'm telling you now. You're walking into a miracle. Every time you walk into this building, you're walking into grace. Because God chooses grace rather than works. There's nobody, let me tell you, there's nobody that can pray the enough amount of prayers to justify a building like this. Fast enough, confess enough, pray enough. It's all just because of the grace of God. God chooses grace rather than works so that no man should boast. So look here what he says to them. He says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. When it comes to you doing good, blessing and sowing, sometimes you are giving more than other people, but you've not seen the desired result. Don't let your heart become hardened. Jesus is saying, don't look at what's in your hand, compare it to those around you. Look at what the Passion Translation says. Because they had failed to learn the lesson of the miracle of the loaves, and their hearts were unwilling to learn the lesson. Sometimes when it comes to giving in the church, we've been taught wrong. We've been taught everything that God is going to do is based upon what you do. And I'm telling you now, the miracle that you need is more than what you can do. That's why you have to look to the miracle worker and not to what's in your hands. Later on, Jesus again, turn to the person next to you. Say, sometimes it takes time with disciples. So Jesus was patient with his own disciples. Mark 8, he says, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? I want to tell you, in doing good, in helping the multitudes, don't let your heart become hardened. Don't let your heart continue to do good. Don't become weary, because in the end, you'll see the result. Knowing that they were thinking, the Passion Translation, knowing that they were thinking, Jesus said to them, why all this fussing over forgetting to bring bread? You think it's about the bread? Do you still not see or understand what I say to you? Are your hearts still hard? It is not how much you have in your hand, but has God blessed what is in your hand? When God has blessed what is in your hand, what is in your hand, miracle of miracles. But don't put your trust in this. Put your trust in God. Amen? Why? Because you're actually already blessed. Jesus was looking at his disciples and saying, you're with me already blessed. The answer was in front of them, but because of the hardness of their hearts, they couldn't see it. Sometimes the answer is right in front of us, but we cannot see it. The woman that gave the 2 denarii and the woman that gave the 300 denarii, both of them had their eyes on the miracle worker, not what they were giving. Both gave what their lives depended upon. The one gave 2 denarii, the one gave a year's salary. But not one of them were focusing on what they were giving. Their focus was on the miracle worker, on Jesus. Amen? Can you see the importance of reaching up in everything that you do? Reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. Let me say this. It's important that we're aware of what kind of seeds we are planting. If people around you are planting seeds of unrighteousness, trouble, disunity, confusion, arguing, you continue to plant righteous seeds because then you'll have a righteous harvest. Because we are walking in the Spirit, we continue to plant Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and kindness and gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. Am I talking to the right people here today? So why are we doing this? We're doing this because we have an assignment from heaven. A heavenly assignment to tell people that there's one body. Can I have an amen? Amen? But if you want to be part of that one body, you need to be born again. You need to be baptized into that body. Then you can drink from that body. And it happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. Planting good seeds at the right time will assure the right harvest. What are those things that you have to do? At the end of the day, if you have to summarize everything, it's about loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. All people that come in here, can we love them? Amen? And can we show all people here to love God? This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.